From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And it's Friday in Chiefs Kingdom. We might as well talk about something fun. I think we have a good show for you. We're going to talk about some hypotheticals, stat projections for what we think can happen this season. Obviously, they're in a state of flux still adding players, but we have a lot that we can cover. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You're right. They are in a state of flux. A lot can change between now and the start of the season, but I think it's a good position to at least, you know, get a baseline for where we think they're going to be stat-wise.
Man, I agree. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics. You can find my stuff at rogueapc.com as well as chiefsdigest.com and, of course, at lockedonchiefs.com.
And I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of lockedonchiefs.com. Thank you all for listening, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, let me cut you off real quick, because this morning I had a chance to be on the conference call when Xavier Williams and Dustin Colquitt and Chad Henne were introduced to the media, and was able to hear their answers to a lot of pertinent questions firsthand. And I wanted to give you my reaction. We'll go into more detail on it next week, as we already have quite a show planned. But I wanted to give you guys some instant reaction. One, first and foremost, if you check my timeline, you'll see at Ryan Tracy NFL, you'll see some of the answers that I found particularly interesting. And they focused earlier around Xavier Williams. And he is signed for a position that he, in talking with us, described as a nose tackle, just as he has been his entire career out in Arizona. The interesting thing was that he also described himself as a penetrator rather than a two-gapper. That's a quote. And I found that very interesting because it signals what we talked about during the season, a return to a more penetrating, aggressive defensive line and attitude from Bob Sutton. As much as I railed against Bob Sutton, maybe what we're seeing is that he's seen the light and realized he's played too passive. Coach too passive, called games too passive in 2017. And then it looks like they're helping him get some players that he feels he can attack with a bit more. Hopefully that's what this means. Obviously, Xavier Williams is returning to Kansas City, grew up here. He said his whole family is going crazy. That's another direct quote. Check the timeline for more, but a lot of interesting stuff. Played last season at about 295. Looks like he's aiming to play between 305 and 310. I find that interesting as well. Not really looking at that 320, 330-pound take on double teams, kind of two gap nose tackle. So we'll get more into what this could mean next week. A couple of little things from Dustin Colquitt. One that he was specifically wanted to come back, spoke with his dad a lot about the situation. Wanted to come back because he felt like he wants to get some things done. His quote was, "We are not far off," and he's talking about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. His dad and his brother have Super Bowl rings, so he's kind of like the only one in the family who doesn't, and I can see how that would be a motivation for him. He also mentioned that he's looking forward to getting back and working with Harrison Bucker, and I think that's a good sign for Bucker's development as well. A lot of interesting things. Really, the thing that caught my eye the most was that he keeps an eye on sports around the town. And when asked about the longevity of his career, I think Therese Paylor asked that question. He said, you know, "I want to play longer than George Brett played here." And that's significant, you know. So keep an eye out for that. I'm sure as everybody starts to come in for the mini camps and everything this preseason, this offseason, they're going to get a chance to follow up with some of that. So keep an eye out for Dustin Colquitt, too. He's relieved he's back in the fold. The team's relieved that he's back in the fold. Evidently, Andy Reid told him in his exit interview that they wanted him back, so it was pretty clear cut. And I think that's a good thing for this team going forward. Now, like I said, we got a ton of stuff to project.
Let's just dive right on in. Where do you want to start offensively?
Well, I tell you what, the person that I have seen the most commentary on about what he could be projected to do is Watkins. And my only complaint about that is I see people complaining on both television and on Twitter and everywhere else that he can't be a number one receiver because he's unlikely to break 800 yards. And I don't know. My thoughts on that are twofold. A, I don't know that I believe that. I think he can break 800 yards, depending on who the defense chooses to shut down, to tell you the truth. And B, I'm not as concerned about his yardage production with Kelsey and Tyreek and Conley back. I don't expect 1,000-yard receivers in multiples. I just want them to score a ton of touchdowns.
I think it's fair. I think you have to look at what Watkins – and that's the bad thing about talking about stats is they are somewhat subjective. If you look at them in a vacuum, it doesn't really tell the whole story, and that's a great point that Seth Kaiser's been pointing out recently a lot. But I will say I don't know that – I don't see any reason why he couldn't hit 800 yards. You know, we're kind of starting from wide receivers opposed to QB, but I think – he still breaks 800 yards. I would be surprised if he doesn't break 900 yards because I think he's going to be a guy that's going to get single coverage at times and they're going to take advantage of that. And we both know that Mahomes isn't going to be shy about throwing the ball to him if he's open.
Yeah, I have to think so. And with his speed and his size and the fact that we've seen on film and even a little bit in the game against Denver that Mahomes is not afraid of small windows. Demetrius Harris. I have to think that there's no reason. Yeah, right. I got to think there's no reason not to throw to Sammy pretty much ever.
Well, and the bigger question to me is, you know, like you said, you know, who are they going to cover? Who's the defense going to cover? So that's really going to be the bigger question to me is who do they double and why do they double whoever they do double? Because it could be Kelsey, it could be Tyreek, it could be Watkins. We just don't know.
Well, and that brings us to the next guy, because I think the guy who reaps the most benefit from this is Kelsey, in that he had a little bit of a year that pulled back a little bit. But I think defenses are going to be more scared of the ultra speed on the outside. I think it's going to keep them in too high coverage a lot more. And I think that just opens up the amount of space that Travis Kelsey can hurt them. I kind of feel right now that he's the guy that's going to reap the most benefit.
Okay, well, that's fair, but before we get there, how many TDs do you see for Watkins?
Man, I am, in general, trying to be the voice of caution.
Pessimist?
Yeah, I'm trying to be the
voice of reason.
Well, I don't want to say reason because, you know, some people might be right. Maybe Pat Mahomes is the second coming and he throws 35 touchdowns this year. I'm trying to keep the hype down. And so I'm not projecting that kind of, maybe 24-ish, I think. So, you know, 7, 8, that would be about an even share between, you know, Tariq's going to get his and, you know, Kelsey's going to get his. He's going to have to throw a couple elsewhere. So I think 7 or 8 is about where I think.
But Kelsey really didn't get his until last year. So I think when I look at Mahomes, I think it's going to be more than 24. We'll get to that a little bit later. But, yeah, I could see 7 or 8 for Watkins. I could also see 5. It really just depends. The one thing that is always, and this isn't maybe the best word, but it's really how I feel. The one thing that's always flummoxed me with this offense is they never seem to use passes in the red zone. And I think that's where Watkins is going to excel the most. So if they don't use him in that role, I could see him not having near as many touchdowns as maybe he should.
Well, and I like where you're going there because, and for example, anyone who's followed me for any amount of time on game days, when they get in the red zone, the number one thing that you can do with good, explosive off-the-snap receivers is throw a slant. And for some reason, Andy Reid or Alex Smith or a combination of both didn't like to do that. And if you look at highlights and what Sammy Watkins does well, it's catch slants.
Let me just jump in and say that I don't know if it's Reid. I'd have to go back to his Philadelphia time to get a real feel for that. I would say more likely it's probably Smith. And the reason I say that is because what happens when you're close to the red zone, or what happens in the red zone? The entire field shrinks because more players are in a smaller space. To me, that is Alex Smith's nightmare is not the right word, but it's not a situation he's comfortable in.
He's a little claustrophobic is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could put it that way. I wouldn't really call it claustrophobic, but he does not like throwing in tight spaces, and that is exactly what throwing around the goal line is all about. So
Ask Russell.
To me, yeah, it just depends whether or not that's a Reed thing or if that was a Smith thing. To me, like I said, I think it's a Smith thing, but we'll have a pretty good idea this year.
Well, I'm in looking at what Sammy Watkins has done well over his career, but specifically last season in Los Angeles. I was very keen on getting that quick slant with a huge body who can get off the line of scrimmage both physically and with some explosion. Man, I think that's an asset that this team has to take advantage of. I think Mahomes is willing to take advantage of it. I think it can work wonders for them, not just in the red zone, but all over the field.
Should. It should really open up a lot of things for a lot of different players, and it should really open up the running game as well.
We can only hope, right?
Well, you can. I'm not talking about running Anthony Sherman, so sorry.
Well, you see, my uncle is now running the Los Angeles Raiders, and he seems to agree with me.
Yeah, well, the Raiders just traded away their fullback, so.
I know, but they have 17 million running backs, right?
Yeah, well, and they also have a lot of old people that they've just brought in this year, so thank you, Johnny Gruden.
So what is your prediction there, looking at Kelce or Mahomes or whoever you want to talk about next?
I think we ought to go to – let's go with Kelce right now. I think Kelce is going to have another 1,000-yard season, and I think he's going to have that because I think he's going to become Mahomes' safety blanket. Young QBs tend to go to their tight ends a lot more than to their wide receivers, and Kelce is, in my opinion, probably the best in the game, if not the second best in the game. So I think he's going to have another 1,000-yard season. I could easily see him going over 6 or 7 touchdowns, depending on how Andy Reid schemes up the offense.
Yeah, I have to agree. And looking at what he was able to do with Mahomes in a playbook that was, you know, slanted towards Smith the entire season. I like what Pat Mahomes did in Denver in 2017, but you can't think that that's the same playbook they're going to work out of. Going forward, so
no, it won't be.
But I think,
but you saw he's willing to use the tight end because of that throw to Demetrius Harris that is still one of the best throws I've seen.
Yeah, and while I still don't think he's going to break 30 touchdowns, or at least I'm not willing to say that out loud.
you just did say it out loud.
No, well, sort of. No, dang. I think the guy, maybe not in yardage. I'm not sure if Kelce breaks 1,000, but I think he does lead the team in touchdowns for much of the reasons that you said as well, but just for the space that I think he's going to have to work with. So I'm looking at 9, maybe 10 touchdowns for Travis Kelce.
And how many yards?
Yes.
That's cheating.
750-ish maybe?
You think he drops off that much?
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I have a feeling that – I don't know. They don't generally go hand in hand. I mean, they can, but maybe I should raise that to 800, something like that. I mean, this isn't going to turn into, you know, the greatest show on turf all of a sudden, but I think.
Are you sure about that?
Not in the first season is what I'm saying. You know, 19, 20, well, maybe.
And I would argue that with the defense they have right now, it might have to be just for them to be in games.
Yeah, that's not a terrible point.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Kind of blows away my 800 yards for Travis Kelce thing, but yeah, I think.
Well, I mean, he's probably if the defense. Yeah, okay, but if the defense is bad, you're going to be playing catch up all the time, and I think Kelce is going to be the one that's going to be exploiting it the most. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So, where do you want to go next?
I don't know. Let's go on the other side. What can Justin Houston do another year older and hopefully maybe sort of kind of with a bookend across from him, at least to start the season?
To be fair, that's the exact thing that I don't know. If he has a bookend, I think he can still get 15 sacks.
Fair.
I think he is that type of pass rusher, and I think they will use him more in that role if he has a bookend on the other side. But if he doesn't have a bookend on the other side, you may be lucky to get 9 sacks out of him.
Well, and that's where I'm coming from. I think the arrival of Hitchens helps in that they don't feel – they shouldn't feel like they have to drop as many as often. And so I don't see – even without Dee Ford out there, I don't see that Justin Houston has to play in coverage as much.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have to ask the question. Do you think that it's also possible that they won't have to drop him as much with Marcus Peters gone, playing more press?
That may be a factor. You can see what Justin Houston can do. He can get into zones. He can travel a little bit, but I don't know playing zone back there, was anything that made him have to play that more often? Maybe that's just my own take on it. Obviously, we don't know what the calls were. Maybe you're absolutely right. But at the end of the day, I still feel like even if Dee Ford's back can't hold up and you have to substitute other rushers on the other side, I still feel like Houston gets to rush the passer a whole lot more than his 76% or whatever it was in 2017.
Okay. Can you go back and say that I'm absolutely right again? Because I want that recorded one more time.
Once a year, buddy. You heard it here.
Dang it. Okay. So what are you taking for Justin Houston on the other side of the ball?
I think even without, a bookend, I think he can get 10 and a half sacks. If Dee Ford is able to be productive, I was going to aim at 13, but you might even be right at 15. The question is going to be whether the back end can hold up long enough to allow them both to get there. And that's the question.
You just hit the nail on the head as to where I was going with my next comment, is that it all depends on the pass defense. Back end can hold up. I think that they should be fine rushing the passer if Dee Ford is healthy and has a good season. So sticking in that regard, I don't want to go on a cornerback by cornerback basis because I don't know that that's necessarily fair. But where do you think they end up in total numbers of interceptions among the back end of the defense?
That's a tough one. Here's the problem. When you look at who the starting corners are, and by starting, I mean three. Amerson, Nelson, and Fuller. I went back and I compared 2017 and 2016. The three of them combined in any one season didn't match Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters was more productive in interceptions and passes defense than all three of the current corners combined in both years. So I am not overly optimistic that this is going to turn or continue to be a team that can live off of the turnover in the secondary. I think passes defense might come into play, and they may be able to stop, especially on third down, you know, some conversions that can shut down drives. But creating turnovers, I think, is still going to be left to Eric Berry. And by himself, again, another reason why I don't like him in the free safety role, that I want him up being able to roam. I think you see a drop off in interceptions in 2017 from 2017.
Okay. So how many do you think?
I think 8 might be pushing it.
Okay. Yeah, I would go 6 to 8. I happen to agree with you. I think that this corner group is not going to be successful taking the ball away a lot. Although a different role for Kendall Fuller, it's possible that he gets more interceptions than he has in the past because, he's going to have more time to react to the ball if he's playing outside versus inside generally.
True. And he did have a penchant for, I think, three of his interceptions in 2017 came on underthrown passes. So certainly if he doesn't have that cushion that he has to automatically make up for, I think you're right. He's in much better position to be near the ball.
You just said it a second time in 5 minutes. Awesome.
Oh, man. Enjoy that.
I will.
Happy birthday.
And my birthday's not until July.
Okay, well, it's early.
Where are we heading next?
Well, we got to finish strong, right? I mean, what is the magician Patrick Mahomes going to do?
Well, I don't know that this is necessarily finishing, but I'd say he's going to throw for 3,800 yards, 3,900 yards, somewhere in there. It really, the TDs really just depends on the offense and how Andy Reid is calling things. If it, to me, the way that this offense looks right now, it looks like they should be a offense that tears the league apart. Is that going to happen in 2019? I don't know. But Patrick Mahomes, to me, has shown enough to where he could be that QB if Andy Reid wants him to be. But Reid has to stay aggressive, which he's had a penchant not to in the past.
Yeah, certainly aggression is the number one thing. Although I think Mahomes brings enough of that. And if you're building an offense with a slinger like Mahomes, you have to think that maybe more so than in years past, that every play is going to have that backside option that's a deep ball. You know, maybe. much like you see, what was that famous play he did with Andrew Luck? Y2 banana or whatever that was. You know, there's going to be for Patrick Mahomes something that if the play breaks down and he can either get outside the pocket or buy himself time, I think Reed's going to be cognizant of always having an option that somebody that's trying to get behind the defense and Mahomes can take stabs. So I have a tendency to think that that's how some big plays are going to come.
Certainly possible. So where do you think he's going to be yardage-wise and TD-wise? I'm making you put a number on it.
Yeah, it's difficult for me. Normally, any rookie, and I'm going to continue to call him a rookie for time being. One start is legitimate, but I'm saying, you know, this is not his second season as the quarterback. So normally I would not give a rookie over 3,000 yards ever. I don't care who you are. I don't think Cam did it. I don't think anybody did it. So I struggle with that. But if anybody's going to do it and with the tool set that they've built for him, I think he may have a shot at it. So I'm going to be a little more conservative than you and think he ends up somewhere between 3 and 3,200. But again, I think he's looking at 24, 25 touchdowns. The question for me is, how many picks are there going to be? Because if he does anything near a 2-to-1 ratio touchdown interception, I'm happy as a clam. I think it's going to be much closer to like a 4-to-3 ratio. But what do you think?
4-to-3, I'd say 20-to-22. It's possible. Again, it really just depends on the way Andy Reid comes out on offense. If they're more aggressive, I think that's possible he'll throw more interceptions. But to me, I would take 20-to-22 from a kid that is basically going to be a rookie and is going to be learning how the NFL works. I'm not expecting a great year from Kansas City, although I think they have the ability to have a good year.
So you're betting the under on what? 8 games?
Right around 8 games. I said 10-6 a couple weeks ago, but I'm starting to really think about that a little bit more, and I think 8 games is probably more realistic.
So over under 8.5, you got the under.
I'd say it's a push.
Okay. I'm going to take the over by 1 right now. That's how I feel today. Folks, hold me to it all you want. It'll probably change in 2 weeks.
Mine changed in 2 weeks. So how many interceptions?
That's the thing. If he's throwing 24 touchdowns, I'm thinking it's 18 or so interceptions.
So we're not too far apart on that.
No, not terrible.
But, this is where he is really going to throw a wrench in everything. You think what we've seen in this offense is that if Alex threw interceptions, it killed the offense. I'm not going to say it's not going to kill the offense when he throws an interception. What I will say is that it's going to have a much different effect on the offense under Pat Mahomes because he's going to make plays that, no offense to Alex, but Smith could never make.
I agree with you. In fact, I had a similar conversation with somebody last weekend, and I put it like this. Given that it's March, we might as well use the analogy. Alex Smith, when he missed passes through interceptions, it was like, you know, your 7-foot center missing a dunk. It really shouldn't happen, right? Yep. At least that's his mentality, and it has an effect on people around him. Pat Mahomes, I see him much more like, you know, a guy that shoots 40% from the 3-point line. He's just got to get those chances out. He's got to take those shots. And the expectation for him is that he's going to miss more. So I really see like the concept of what the player is what determines what's acceptable, what's expected, who's going to freak out when. And I have to think that his teammates are going to know that there's going to be those times where they're going to break free and he's going to drop bombs and they're going to put up with more. They're going to not be as mentally affected when he does throw interceptions.
Well, I think you also have to look at what's the player he is. And I think that we've talked about it. He's expected to have interceptions, but I think he's going to be a player that learns from them. I think everything I've read about him is that he is a student of the game. And if he is truly a student of the game, anything that he messes up this year is just going to help him down the road. So I'm not going to say the more picks, the better, but I will say that I think that he's going to learn a lot more from the first five or six interceptions he throws in his career in 2018 than he's going to maybe the last five or six.
Yeah, and I happen to agree with you there. It's whether he can control his gunslinger instincts. I think that learning is one thing. Stopping yourself from taking those chances, I think, is a different thing. Brett Favre never learned it. And not to compare the guy to a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I'm just saying we see tendencies. There's, some personality things that seem similar to me. Favre never got to that point. So, and if that's the case with Patrick, then, so be it. And Pat, if you're listening to us, come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I imagine we wouldn't mind having that conversation. So where do you think that they go with Tariq Hill? Let's wrap this up real quick.
I don't know that they go anywhere with him. I think what you see is that I'm expecting Conley to be back at full speed or at full health anyway, maybe 95% of his former speed. I know he's been training some with Eric Berry, and I know that's been in his social media accounts a little bit, and I think that's a good thing. I think what you start to see is Watkins manning the X like we've talked about, but I think what they start to do is devise ways – not jet sweep, but to motion Tariq around so that he and Conley can switch positions, can get people in mismatches. And so I actually expect to see maybe not as much total yardage, but more yak out of Tariq, depending on not being necessarily the outside guy on that side. So I'm looking forward to that.
So where do you think he go? What do you think he does in yardage? And how many TDs?
I think he's going to get doubled. He's going to see a lot of bracket coverage. So I'm thinking he takes a step back a little bit. I don't remember what his total was last season off the top of my head, but I'm thinking again, another 800-900 yards.
He was just over 1,000 last season.
Yeah. So a little step back.
So he will take a little step back. How many TDs? And I have an extra stat here with TDs.
Oh, awesome. I'm thinking in and about the same 7 to 8 range, given that that's what I think Watkins is going to do. And I think Travis is going to get a couple extra because of the coverage. So I think 7 or 8's about right. If that adds up to 25, then I think I'm in good shape.
Okay. Now the added stat, how many are going to be over 40 or 50 yards?
3 of them.
He's the one that bounces all he's the one that makes all the long ones. So at least he has been in Kansas City. Watkins certainly has that speed too. So we will be seeing how that ends up.
Let's talk about running in a second too.
Where do you think Hunt ends up on the year for running?
I'm very optimistic that because of all this, this offensive firepower, that at least in the division, which accounts for 6 of the 16 games, that they get out to leads. And I think that helps promote the usage of Hunt. So I think he might get, another 1,200 yards, something like that, because I think he's going to get enough utilization. The question for me is going to be, I think we're going to see some of his passing yardage come down because of the multiplicity of options other than him.
So you think he gets 1,200 yards rushing?
I think so.
So
I hope so.
You don't see it being a committee when we're talking about running back.
No, I really don't. I think it's going to be spot usage, but I think at the end of the day, I think Kareem Hunt is still going to be 1,000-yard back.
Okay.
Do you disagree, eh?
I don't know that disagree is the right word. I would say that I am starting to think that it's possible that Hunt is probably going to be splitting more 60-40 or 70-30 with Ware. But until we really see them play a couple of games, I don't know that anybody's really going to have a great idea as to where he's as to where it's going to end up.
And that's fair. I mean, I'm coming from the point that I don't know what Spencer Ware is right now, if he's 100%. And even if he is, I think he's still going to be more in relief. I was more 20, 25%.
Well, I get that. I guess where I'm coming from is I think Spencer Ware is going to be healthy. He's had a full year. PCL isn't near what an ACL is. So I would think that he would be okay recovering from that. But, you know, it's possible. You're right. He's not going to be back to himself, and maybe he isn't. But, you know, when you talk about something like that, it also kind of makes sense that he maybe isn't, because you would think that they would also possibly be looking at moving on from a guy like Trekandrick West if they need the cap space, and they haven't made a move like that yet.
Yeah, very true.
So hopefully I'm wrong about where and where he's going to be back healthy, but you know, time will tell on that one.
Well, offensively, I think on the whole, it looks like a team that, despite losing a Pro Bowl quarterback, is in position to maybe not drop off, maybe even excel forward in the coming year.
I have one last question for you. In your mind, what is the what is Watkins need to do in his career in Kansas City over the next 2 years to be worth the contract he got?
Well, that's a tough one. The contract this year, I feel, is still overpaid. I don't know that there's ever going to be anything he can do without, you know, turning into literally the highest scoring wide receiver in the league to justify that to me. But given the asterisk across from him, and Tariq's contract is going to come up in a couple of years, you hope that they can hold on to him. But what I want to see from him is that he keeps pace in terms of touchdowns and generating plays on his own. I don't know that he's going to get as many touches. It all depends on how everything works out with Mahomes and his chemistry. But does he take advantage of those touches, those receptions, as much? And then if there does come a day where Tariq Hill goes elsewhere, if they decide they can't afford him or something happens, can Sammy Watkins become that one? That's going to be the telling of the tale for me.
Well, I don't think Tariq Hill is going anywhere, although you're right. We never know what's going to happen with this team moving forward. But the whole Marcus Peters situation really showed that one. Mm-hmm. But I think Watkins is going to have a very hard time to live up to that contract in a lot of people's eyes, just because it seems so large for a position that you just didn't expect Kansas City to go and spend money.
Yeah, very, very true. What does he have to do in your eyes?
Honestly, I can't go with stats, because to me, his value on the field is going to go way past the stat sheet. If he does well statistically, great. But if he's pulling coverages away from Kelsey and Hill and Conley, and the offense is blowing up in general, I think you have to take that into account, knowing that he's part of the reason, depending on the coverage that shaded his way. I just think that looking at it in a vacuum is really hard to do, and statistically I don't think you can when it comes to him.
Fair enough.
I mean, in all reality, you go out and you make this move trying to make your offense better. You're not going out making this move trying to get a 1,200-yard receiver and 10 touchdowns, in my mind.
It's more the whole becomes more than the sum of its parts, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm with you there. It's a team game for a reason.
Well, and the other side of it is, you know, we've talked about this at different times, but, you know, if they're really looking, and I'm still torn on whether or not they're looking at 18 or 19, I think this looks like more of an 18 move, but at the same time, you could also call the signing of Watkins and Hitchens a 19 move, because you've got two guys that are 24 and 25. They're going to be playing in their primes for the next several years. And you have a chance to have an offense that is going to have played together for an entire season going into next year. And that is going to be a great thing for Kansas City for the future. So,
very true. Well, I think we've covered our predictions for the year. You guys let us know what you think. Hit us up at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as the phone line at 913-777-4457. We're getting some voicemails. We're going to try to get those on the show as soon as we can. And anything else you want to tell everybody?
Thank you for all the ratings and reviews on iTunes. We will be getting back to those as well. And if you haven't given us a rating or review yet, please do, because we really do appreciate it and it helps us.
Thank you all. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.